Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or their broadcast affiliates. Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio, where you will learn the benefits and your rights to live the barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myth of going barefoot, your hosts, Richard Johnson and Nick Pierce. And welcome to the Barefoot is Legal Radio program, where we empower you to live the barefoot lifestyle. We all have different reasons for going barefoot. For some of you, it may be for religious reasons, some of you for cultural reasons, others for health or medical reasons. Even though our reasons are different, there are people out there that think that there are laws, policies, rules, regulations, or dangers about being barefoot in public. But whatever your reasons, call in, share your stories, whatever experiences you have, any issues, we'd like to hear them, help you out. If you want to be a part of the show today, the call-in number is 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to be on the air. We also have our live chat room open. You can get there by going to freedomizerradio.com. Click on the live chat link. You can interact with us during the program. We also have the official home of Barefoot is Legal. If you just visit our website, barefootislegal.org. We also have our Facebook page and our Facebook group. Public page, open for everybody to view, comment, and share. We also have our closed group, again, Barefoot is Legal, right on Facebook. You can interact with other members of the barefoot community during and after our broadcast. If you live a barefoot lifestyle or are interested in living a barefoot lifestyle, join our group if you've not joined already. Now, keep in mind, though, folks, this is not a fetish community. No, no. So for all you heavy-breathing fun seekers out there, this is not the place to get your rocks off on foot pictures. No, 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 no. We are here to educate and empower you and spread the message that bare feet are legal. For those of you that may not know, I'm your host, Nick Pierce. I've been barefoot for over 20-plus years. Got rid of the last pair of anything that goes on my feet over 15 years ago, and I'm the head of BIL's Victim Legal Services Department, Also, another victim's legal advocate, my co-host, and your friend, Richard Johnson, very active, standing up for the human rights that we as the Barefoot community have. And Richard's here with us today as well. And with that said, now it's time to kick off your shoes if you are wearing them or still have any at all, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time that we have together. Well, welcome back, Richard. It's the Rick and Nick
Hour. How are we doing this weekend, Nick?
Doing well. How about you, sir?
Not bad, not bad. Just kind of waiting for the show. Got a few things kind of want to bring up that I was noticing this week on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Basically, just kind of injuries to, and again, you know, germ phobia seems to be one of the big things that a lot of people who want to be barefoot outside seem to, you know, once they get over the hurdles of, okay, the streets and sidewalks aren't strewn and covered with glass and there's not, you know, used drug hypodermic needles laying everywhere waiting for your feet and toes to puncture. It's just the basic germs that everybody fears. And we've been seeing, or at least I noticed quite a few posts, especially specifically regarding going into like bathrooms, public restrooms. So, yeah, that's something I would kind of want to discuss your thoughts on as well and hopefully get some folks to call in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. If anybody wants to chime in on that. You know, and I noticed that too. It's funny. You mentioned that, you know, people are finally getting over that fear of the glass and the needles and, you know, the razor blades and the dangerous world that exists on the ground somewhere out there that they thought was there the whole time. You know, it's mostly people in shoes, you know, I mean, that they don't really quite know where they're going. I mean, they don't really pay attention, but once you're barefoot and they finally look down and they realize, oh, all this glass and needles and, you know, all this stuff that people are afraid of really are not there. Now, I'm sure, yes, in some neighborhoods, if you go to the wrong section of town, in an alley somewhere, you're going to find a bunch of stuff on the ground, including some dead prostitutes. But it's not normal everywhere else. I'm sure you'll find a lot of stuff in an alley in a bad neighborhood somewhere on the ground.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, and those are the sections you don't want to be in daylight in full body armor, let alone barefoot.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's kind of one of those things like, all right, well, you've got a concern about being in this area, but let's just be honest. You know, when police don't go into that neighborhood in less than a squad size, that's telling you, you know, it's just a bad place to be all around. Your feet are the least of your concerns.
Exactly. You know, I mean, if the chalk outline of the body that was there the night before is still on the ground and they're making another one for another body next to it, you're in the wrong place. I mean, why are you worried about
the chalk outlines? We'll have shoes.
There was speaking of a chalk outline, there was many years ago, I was in a town somewhere, and I think it was just some kids that just kept drawing little chalk outlines of themselves outside somewhere on sidewalks and in front of some businesses here and there. But I didn't see them doing it, but you could just tell it was kind of a joke. So I went through, and there was this cafe, and the waitress was making up that blackboard, you know, for happy hour or something, you know, like a basket of fries and, you know, two drinks or something, $5 or something, you know, happy hour pricing. And then they had that chalkboard on the sidewalk out in front of one of those places. And I said, can I borrow your chalk real quick? So I drew a little mohawk on the top of it, and I drew toes on its feet.
Very
speaking
nice.
Of chalk outlines on the ground. She looks at me, she goes, is that supposed to be you? I said, well, I hope not. I feel sorry for whoever it was. I said, what do you got on the menu? What kind of things? She goes, oh, we're doing happy hour pricing. It's this, that, and the other and everything. I'm just putting up the board. So me and my buddy, we went in, hung out there for a couple hours. People would come in and they'd kind of look at me. They'd look at the chalk outline out in front on the sidewalk in front of this business. They'd walk in like, oh, wow, someone rose from the dead and had a few drinks for happy hour. Hey, buddy. Pull your outline on the sidewalk.
Now that's a good happy hour that could raise you from the dead.
Exactly. Yeah, happy. Oh boy, happy hour can get me going anywhere. Happy hour get me up and going every time. So yeah, that was quite funny. Enjoyed that one. And they come in, it's like, I don't know if it's the hair or the shoes, you know, because I was barefoot, and you know, I'm like, yeah. How'd you know it was me? But yeah, people are getting over this, you know, that all these dangers exist on the ground. They're going out barefoot, and now they're just worried about the hygienic side of it. I have two washcloths in my bathtub. I don't know if anybody else does that. I have one that I wash the rest of my body with, and I have another one that I use just for scrubbing my feet.
I actually have, I had an old back brush, you know, one of those, you know, long handled things with those small little oval, stiff bristled. And when I got a new one gifted to me, I turned the old one into a foot brush. And that's what I use to sit there and scrub out the bottom of my feet.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea. So, and I have two scrub brushes in the bathtub, too. One's just for cleaning the tub. The other one is for, like, you know, after mowing the lawn, the washcloth is not going to do the job. Then I use that old cleaning brush that I used to use in the bathtub. But, yeah, I know what you mean. Scrub brush works good, too. Yeah.
Have you ever tried one of those? Have you ever seen those commercials for that foot scrub thing that sticks to the floor and it's got bristles on it? Sticks to the floor of the tub with suction cups, and it's got bristles and this little like hoop that goes over the top that's supposed to scrub the top of your foot at the same time.
I think I saw something like that. It's also like a, it's like a foot wash bath or something. You just keep your feet in.
Yeah.
Fill it up with something. Yeah. No, I never tried one. I did have a tub at one, like a little rectangular dish tub at one point that buddy of mine and I filled with vodka to see if we get drunk from an old myth that we heard somewhere. That didn't work either.
That sounds like more fun.
Yeah, well, we use cheap vodka, too. I mean, I'm sure if we used the good stuff, we probably would have absorbed it somewhere. But, you know, that goes to show you that people think that you're going to absorb stuff through your skin on the bottom of your feet, and you don't. If you can't get drunk soaking your feet in a tub of vodka, you're not going to contract anything through your skin on the bottom of your feet either.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. That's one of those myths that just drives me nuts, especially, too, like when you see those folks that buy those little Japanese foot pads that you stick on the bottom of your feet, and then in the morning you wake up and, you know, they're black as night, and, you know, supposedly it's just drawing a bunch of toxins out of your feet, and it's like, you folks actually fall for that? I mean,
thermal reaction.
You know. Well, I had a friend who bought those, and he swore by them, and then I was like, you know, one time, because he knew I was really skeptical, and he tells me first, because he knows, okay, that's the barefoot guy. If anybody's going to be open-minded about this, it's like, yeah, I'm open-minded, but I'm not stupid. So why don't you take some of those foot pads and just stick them somewhere else on your body overnight and see what happens? Matter of fact, while you're just sitting at home, stick them on your shoulders, see what happens, because I have a feeling that whatever's inside is just absorbing your sweat and turning dark in color, you know, based off of, you know, who knows, salt from the sweat or whatever the case is. And sure enough, you know, he did that, and it turned out exactly the same. And I'm like, okay, so unless you're leaking toxins from the rest of your skin somehow, these things are, you know, snake oil.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if that was the case, every doctor in the world would have those and just put them on whatever ailment. Oh, you have a cold? Here, put this on your nose. Oh, you have a sinus infection? Put this on your cheek. Oh, you have a, you know, you have a an STD? Here, shove it down there and see if it gets better. You know, it's like, what are you, like, what are they thinking of some of this stuff?
No, I don't get it. I feel bad for the folks that spend the money on it.
Mm-hmm.
Though I've been victim of a few things myself in the day. So, you know, it's, you know, we all have our level of, belief where we'll get sucked in and, you know, buy things, and then after you get them, you're like, all right, well, that was a waste of money. But
yeah, I had one of those recently, the plasma lighter. You ever see those on TV that you hold the button, it charges, but it's like a plasma, it's like an arc that goes between those prongs and it lights
two posts
stuff.
Yeah,
it's just electric, tactical, you know, tactical. I throw anything in front of tactical, you know, people buy it, you know, in the doomsday prepper world. But yeah, I don't, anytime it says tactical, I just don't, it doesn't spark my interest. But
nope,
I wanted one of those. Exactly. Yeah. Well, this lighter doesn't spark anymore. And that's my point of it. You know, it's like, oh, this thing, you just charge it. It should last forever. I mean, yeah, of course it's good for 100 lights. You got to keep it charged, but I figured, a renewable, you know, source of fire, you know, I mean, eventually your ferro rods wear down, you know, your strikers, your flint will only last so long. You know, you can only sit there for an hour and a half rubbing two sticks together, you know, in the rain for so much, you know, until you finally just go to the car and get the lighter. So it's like, yeah, I know my training when I go out in the wilderness, you know, I set up a base camp. It's more like glamping, but then I'm off like in the woods, like, you know, about a half mile away for like 4 days straight. Before the family comes down to visit, when we do the big campouts, I'll go up there a couple days early. Well, my survival gear, and I just, you know, man of the wild, you know, surviving the doomsday apocalypse. you know, and, you know, eventually when the family gets up there, you know, the tablecloth goes down on the table and, you know, the camping really begins.
you know, it's funny. You just reminded me when I was a kid growing up in Colorado, for us, we didn't know what the concept of car camping was. When we, you know, my uncles took me and my cousins, you know, when we were young out camping, it was literally, we rolled up a army blanket that, you know, we had wool army blankets around all the time. Uh-huh. We'd roll one of those up. You'd throw in maybe a can of something to eat, whatever we had. You know, usually I think hash was about the only thing we had back in the 60s and 70s. It was like, you know, ready to eat out of the can, didn't require cooking. And then beef jerky, and that was about it. You know, we'd grab a canteen of some sort and then strap it all around our back, and then we'd just head off into the mountains and spend, you know, a whole 3-4 days sometimes just camping, trying to do a little fishing, you know, in some of the streams and whatnot. And that was the extent of what camping was to me. I never, you know, I don't think I set foot inside of a tent until I moved to California in the 80s.
Oh, wow.
So
that's pretty cool.
But the thing I remember as a kid, too, growing up, because me and all my cousins being up in the mountains, we weren't barefoot in the mountains too often until we got wherever we were at. When we were actually hiking, we wore boots. But the thing that I remember, and this actually came from watching cowboy movies, you'd see those old cowboy movies where the bad guys would take the good guy, run him out into the middle of the desert, and then take his boots from him.
Take his boots.
And then, of course, the guy, you know, was expected to die because he wasn't going to be able to walk out because he had tender feet. And so I remember as kids, we always thought, oh, man, I'm not going to get caught out in the desert and get my boots removed. I'm going to toughen my feet up. And so we'd always run around barefoot just to be prepared.
Yeah, in case the bad guys brought you out in the middle of the desert and took your boots. You're ready.
You were ready. You had tough feet.
Exactly. But yeah, no, it's funny. It's like I'll set up a camp. I'll have like a tent, you know, I'll have a campground. But I pick my campgrounds in certain areas where there's enough woods and stuff without a lot of trails on it, so no one really comes back there that much. And then I'll practice like building shelters and stuff like that, you know, build a shelter, come back to the site, use the fire pit. Cause you know, in a state park, you can't really light fires, you know, outside of those designated areas. And well, you could, but you know, they frown on that. And, then I'll, you know, spend a night out in the shelter that I'll build. And then, you know, you kind of got to knock it down and put everything back where it was because it is a state park. And they give me a little latitude, you know, to do certain things up there. And then, you know, the night before everybody comes up, you know, it's like, okay, the apocalypse is over. You know, my gear works. You know, I practiced my skills. And I'm beat. Now it's time for the family to come up and you got to go camping again. It's like, oh, I'm exhausted. But then I set up, you know, the big pop-up tents. You know, the tablecloth goes down on the table. The kitchen is set up. You know, it's like, it's glamping. You know, the circle of tents, the cots in the tent.
mind glamping so much now that I'm older. So, you know, it's like I have a newfound appreciation for it.
Yeah. My mother came up to visit me one night, and she came up for the day and ended up spending the night. I said, yeah, I got a cot in the truck. I'll put a cot in the tent for you. First time she ever really came. She goes, well, I said, by the way, the showers are down there. So, yeah, we got to make sure we glamp, not camp at times. But she came up to survive the zombie apocalypse with me one night to visit. And she learned how to use a blowgun and, you know, played swords. She's really good at archery. And that's something I want to get a bow and arrow, learn from the master on that one. And in exchange, I take her to the gun range, teach her how to use a gun.
Very cool. Those are actually much more handy than people realize. I haven't shot a bow in probably quite a few years, but there was a period of time where, we'd go rabbit hunting. Rabbit hunting is really good if you want to learn how to be a very quick archer. In other words, being able to draw, aim, and shoot very quickly. Rabbit hunting's good for that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Squirrels are very tough, but...
They're a smaller target.
You know,
I mean, it's kind of like at a squirrel, you aim for the tail. It's like that carnival game with those little big fuzzy things, and you have to knock them over with the ball. Most of it's just fuzz, and you never win the prize. That would be like hunting a squirrel for me.
Pretty much. It's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it just occurred to me, too, is I remember back in the early days of, the Dirty Soul Society, people used to talk about just everyday barefooted preparedness and what types of things people carried with them. And I know for me and a lot of folks, carrying just, you know, a little tiny personal first aid kit with a pair of tweezers, a needle for like picking out splinters or when you, you know, on the very, very rare occasion you'd might get glass, a little bit of disinfectant, and that was pretty much it. And I remember, you know, thinking, you know, I was always going to have need of it, and so I was carrying this thing around. It wasn't very large. It was maybe about the size of a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Because you don't need much. But I think in the first 3-4 years that I was out actually actively, constantly barefooting, I think I used that thing maybe once or twice, and it wasn't even on myself.
Yeah. I have a kit, like my first aid kit, and my I have like a get-home bag, you know, that's an everyday carry thing. You know, I have my buck-out bag and all that. And in my first aid kit, I have a lot of things specifically for, you know, oh, you're barefoot and something happens that I rarely use. I mean, it's like your feet toughen up. You're aware of where you're going. You're, you know, you don't end up in the situation that most people do if you're barefoot all the time. And but yeah, no, having a little kit like that is great. Another thing that I use and I always have on me is what's called liquid skin, liquid Band-Aid. I don't know if you saw
that
stuff. I love that stuff.
Oh,
nail
polish
works too. But
the liquid Band-Aid. Nail polish.
Yeah, and super glue. You know, if you really have a tough, you know, a big, you know, cut or something like that, super glue is just like stitches. I mean, you just glue the wound shut and stops bleeding and everything. So a little tiny little thing is super glue. Is my barefoot first aid kit, I guess you could call it. But liquid bandage is my favorite go-to. Flexible, you know, as long as it's not bleeding, it'll dry. Seal the cut. It's antiseptic as well. So it'll clean it and seal
it. I actually carry a bottle of that in my the dash glove box of my car. And then in my little bicycle pouch when I take my bicycle, there's one in there. And then just even in the pockets of my my hoodie that I wear whenever I leave the house, I always have my hoodie with me. And it's a Scott Vest hoodie that has 20 bajillion pockets zippered hidden all over the place. So it's like one little pocket has, you know, a couple of Tylenol, Advil, and then a Band-Aid or two in that liquid bandage. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. For our listeners, if you're going barefoot, pick yourself up a bottle. You'll love it. And yeah.
And I don't know if this is your experience too, but the reality of it is you're probably really just not going to need it most of the time. I mean, it's so seldom you get injured. And, you know, it's funny, we just mentioned that, you know, the world not being strewn with glass and hypodermic needles. Somebody once, you know, made a comment that just made so much sense with me. It was like, you know, for the most part, you really don't need a lot of the things you think you will, because in your day-to-day life, you're pretty well aware of where it is you're going. It's not like you're just off wandering around to some place you've never been before, and you don't know the circumstances of what your environment's going to be like.
That's
so
true.
You know, a lot of folks that worry about, I'm going to step in, you know, feces and spit and everything else. It's like, well, yeah, that's possible, but you know where you're at. And I'm sorry, you know, I haven't seen too many dogs crapping outside of Target or people taking a dump outside of Target. I mean, it's just stuff that just doesn't really happen.
And, you know, you mentioned that. And, yeah, in the regular world out there, that doesn't happen. You're not going to see a lot of that. It's when you go to parks and stuff where you have, like, ponds and lakes and stuff. You have geese. You have people walk their dogs around there. And the dogs and the geese make a mess all over the place. And those are the places that people are most likely taking off their shoes and going barefoot. But they think that out in the store or something, you're going to run into things. It's like, no, you just went barefoot in a park, and there's, like, the geese and the dogs make a mess all over the place, and you ran around barefoot. And then you come into the, you know, you come out of that environment and go into, you know, a stores or, you know, into your neighborhood or something like that around your own town, and you're like, wait a minute, where's the logic in that? None of that exists here, you know, in the civilized world. You go out to a park, and it, I mean, yeah, the park's in the civilized world too, but, you know, out there, you're stepping in this stuff, or then they realize, oh, I'm kind of looking where I'm going now. You know, they finally realize that. And they realize, like we were saying, those dangers really don't exist in the real world. You know, going to the store, walking down the street, anything like that.
Yeah, it absolutely makes no sense at all. So, you know, here they are walking in a place. It's like, okay, your feet are definitely coming in contact with animal feces, you know, the ducks and the swans and the dogs at the park. And you walk all over that place barefooted, and then you get in your car. You probably didn't clean your feet off or put your shoes back on, so you've just smeared whatever might have been on. And granted, this isn't, you know, in my opinion, I don't see it as there's that much of a risk of contamination, because whatever's out there, unless it was absolutely fresh and you stepped in it and didn't clean it off your foot, anything you might have stepped in is going to be, you know, full of dead bacteria, if anything. And so it's not going to, like, you know, transmit any live cultures, you know, live bacterium in your car, taken, you know, with your feet. So, yeah, but you're absolutely right. That whole logic just doesn't make any sense at all to think that's safe. And, you know, something else too, grass. Everybody loves grass. You know, you see a park, there's grass, and you go, oh, take off your shoes, and you're running around. Me personally, I've actually come to not like grass very much, because grass actually can hide a lot of things.
It does.
Give me
yeah.
the beach, give me the sidewalk, give me anything where I can actually see what's in it, and I'm fine. You know, if it's your own private yard where, you know, you're not having people traipsing around dropping crap in, you know, your backyard should be safe. And but anytime I see county parks, especially because they're not maintained as much and the grass gets a little thicker before they mow it, I'm always concerned about walking through it. So I'm watching very carefully, because if that's about the only place I've ever in public actually stepped on something where it was sharp. Didn't puncture my skin, but I felt it. And if the potential was that I wasn't paying attention or moving a little too quickly to retract my step, that's about the only place I would ever have gotten punctured was a grassy park.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, people in their, what they think are dangers and stuff like that, they're actually other places and they don't realize it. But top of the hour, real quick break, got to pay the bills. I don't have the big suitcase full of $1 million yet, so we got to run some commercials here. You can get rid of the commercials once that suitcase is delivered. But stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You never know when an emergency is going to happen. Whether stuck on the road, riding out a power outage, escaping a natural disaster, or surviving a doomsday apocalypse, what would you do? Disaster can strike at any time. Join your host, Nick Pierce, for Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival program, Are You Ready? Saturdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Listen to Are You Ready? Here on Freedomizer Radio. And be prepared.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Tune in to the Mad Scientist Exposed Show every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, where we discuss the science and the news today, take a closer look, and expose where fraud is being committed for various agendas, from money to politics to downright pure evil and malice. Of course we trust science. It's scientists we don't trust. Tune in and join the conversation on Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, on Freedomizer Radio.
In this digital society, making connections is quickly becoming a lost art form. Yet, if you are a small business owner, building your network is the only way you can get ahead. Can these skills be learned? You bet they can. Read Nose to Nose Networking, No Nonsense In-Person Networking Tips from a Master. Who's the master? Well, who better to teach networking and friend-building skills than a golden retriever? The author, Melanie Hope, takes the antics of Abigail and translates them into the human experience. Through Abby, you will learn how to set your intention, build a network, and get into and out of conversations with grace. If you love the Dog Abby segments on Counterculture Wise Radio, you will love Nose to Nose Networking even more. Find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble in hard copy, Kindle, and Nook. Visit CounterCultureWise.com for direct links.
Are you curious about Tantra? Did you know Tantra isn't just about sex? Think meditation, breathwork, earthing, ceremony, the chakra system, deep self-healing, the shame and shadows and trauma that we hold in our body. Join me, Tara, for Tantra with Tara every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Each show will begin with a guided meditation. Tantra is shifting and deepening the lives, spirits, and hearts of people all over the world. Invite Tantra to shift yours.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at SerenityRug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's SerenityRug.com.
Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Imagine standing barefoot on cushy grass while you use a professional-grade knife to deftly chop fresh vegetables on your organic bamboo cutting board. The team at MyZestiness.com wants to help your family enjoy home cooking like this more often. They do this by offering fun and functional tools that make your time in the kitchen more efficient and enjoyable. MyZestiness.com offers the finest and most interesting kitchen goods and accessories, all backed by their world-class customer service team. Check out their ever-expanding inventory today. Visit MyZestiness.com. That's zesty like spicy, nest like home. MyZestiness.com.
My toes itch. My back is in pain.
My feet smell.
Well, I suffer from knee and hip pain.
If you suffer from any of those symptoms, Shoeless is a natural foot remedy to treat most symptoms of pain, infection, and other ailments caused by shoes. Shoeless can be applied simply by removing whatever is on your feet. Shoeless is a non-prescription solution to most foot problems that are caused by wearing shoes. In most cases, when using Shoeless, it does not impair your ability to operate a vehicle, walk, run, shop, jump, play, move, dance,
sing, flip, or other human activities. Those using Shoeless have reported feeling happy, less pain, better mood, and have a better sense of health and freedom. Other benefits also include eliminating athlete's foot, foot odor, fungus, and other forms of bacteria known to have been caused by shoes. Some users of Shoeless may be told that it's against the law. Ask your doctor for a note when using Shoeless. Other side effects include a higher sense of awareness and in your surroundings. Do not use Shoeless if you are standing in a pit of fire. Using Shoeless may not increase your chances of flying or winning the lottery. However, some users have reported having higher self-esteem and positive attitudes, as well as more confidence. Shoeless is best when used all the time. Use caution when using Shoeless until your body adapts. Shoeless has also been proven to increase learning, attention, help fight depression, and ease effects of autism. Feel free to ask your doctor how Shoeless can benefit you. For more information about Shoeless and its benefits, visit barefootislegal.org. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
A full moon shining bright, edge of the water, we were feeling all right. Back down a country road, the girls are always hot and the beer is ice cold. Shot me a little like a shooting star, so I grabbed a beer and my old guitar. Then we sat around till the break of dawn, howling and singing our favorite song. Whoa, never gonna grow up, whoa, never gonna slow down. Whoa, we were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show. We were doing it right. Whoa, we were coming alive. Whoa, yeah, caught up in a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. Whoa, oh, never gonna grow up. Ha, never gonna slow down. We were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show. Whoa, we were doing it right. Whoa, we were coming alive. Yeah, caught up in a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. A barefoot blue jean night. A barefoot blue jean night. A barefoot blue jean night.
Oh, 319-527-6208. And that's 319-527-6208. This is a way to be a part of the show. And we're just talking about everybody in their sanitation. And we're listening to Rick and Nick on the Barefoot is Legal radio program here this Saturday. If you missed anything, check out the archives. Go to freedomizerradio.com or right on the Facebook page for the home of Barefoot is Legal Radio. Just go to Barefoot is Legal Radio right on Facebook. Click on the anything you missed. And, well, welcome back, everybody. And we also have Kevin. He's going to be joining us here in a little bit. I know he's been hanging out there patiently in the queue, so we'll bring him in. Before the break, though, we were talking about, you know, how, like, people believe that, you know, all the dangers and stuff. And walking around in a park and, you know, the mess that animals make out there, like, especially around ponds with all the geese and people and their dogs and stuff that don't clean up after them. They, you know, I was thinking about it, too, where in your on your shoe with the treads, all that stuff gets stuck in the tread. As opposed to if it's on your foot and you do step in it, it comes right off. Number one. And number two, when, as far as the waste and all that from animals, it breaks down in the sun. UV rays will kill most of that bacteria and stuff that's harmful. And nature does the rest. All those other microorganisms that feed off, you know, animal waste like that automatically start breaking it down. And it's not that harmful if you step in it, believe it or not. So,
yeah, very low risk, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, too, you know, like you mentioned, the UV light, that's one of the biggest things that's going to kill it. But also, too, the air, you know, I mean, just the air and the wind and everything will dry it out more quickly, even though it's in contact with moist grass.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to kill everything off as well.
Yeah, yeah, it dries out and it turns into dust eventually. So.
You know, that's one of those things where, like, there was somebody we were discussing, like, the public restrooms, too. That was the other one. You know, what do you do when you see wet areas? And it's like, well, chances are those wet areas aren't actually somebody who just, missed the commode or the urinal. I mean, it's probably just oversplash water and stuff like that, or the pipes and the leaking every time the thing's flush, because they're not spending a lot of time doing a lot of maintenance on it. But I'd made the comment that, you don't have to worry about it. Urine's sterile. And somebody corrected me, and they were right to correct me. I mean, urine is not actually sterile. It does contain a small amount of bacterium. And again, it's one of those things where it's like, a little bit of knowledge, can be very powerful if you understand it. And there's microbes or bacteria in our body that we actually need. They're beneficial. And unless a person's unhealthy and actually has like a urinary tract infection of some sort or some other disease, and there's very few that actually will transmit through urine, the bacteria that comes out with urine isn't something that you have to worry too much about catching an infection from, unless, again, they've got a urinary tract infection, they've got a specific type of bacterium that is harmful, which is, again, very rare. And it happens to get into an open cut in contact with your capillaries or your bloodstream to get absorbed into that. That's about the only way you're going to catch an infection from walking in that. And
it's very rare. And the amount of bacteria that's in there, again, if it's been sitting there for a little bit, it's probably not that harmful to begin with.
Yeah. That's the other thing, too. People need to realize, you need you need the dark environment so the bacterium can grow. You need the wet environment, which granted, wet floor and water, there's that. But then you also need the heat. It has to have a certain temperature for it to thrive. It doesn't thrive in a cold environment. So these are all the things that I keep, wishing folks would sit there and just like, all right, get all your information first. And, and of course, each human being has to make a decision for themselves. There are people out there that are susceptible to anything. You sneeze in their direction, and they instantly have caught a cold. And if you're one of those types of people, obviously you need to take different precautions than someone like me. I can be, practically sitting on a bus for hours next to somebody who's coughing and sneezing and getting all kinds of,
germs all over the place. Yeah, and
germs
and
all over the place.
You walk away probably just fine. Yeah, you walk away just fine.
I'm absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm. And part of that's also because when you live a barefoot lifestyle and you're barefoot all the time, your body has a higher immunity to certain things. So you don't get sick as often. In the winter, a lot of members talk about how, like, last winter, they were sick all the time. They always had a cold or a flu or something. This winter, they've been barefoot for the first time, and they don't even get the flu shot, and they're fine. And, it's amazing. And it's just the way the body adjusts, adapts, and all that.
Oh, I know. I definitely feel much healthier when I'm barefooted. Matter of fact, last year in September, when we had all those bad hurricanes in, the southeast, I actually deployed with FEMA on a temporary duty assignment to go assist them. And during that time, we were required to wear shoes. So it's not too much different from my normal job. The difference being that my normal job is only about 8 hours a day. 8.5 hours total that I'm in shoes, and then I'm barefooted the rest of the time. Well, during this 45-day deployment, we were working upwards of 16, sometimes as much as 20 hours, almost straight through. I had 2 days off during that whole 45-day deployment. So I was in shoes all that time. And that was the first time in years, because I was in shoes so much, where I actually started to feel like, okay, I'm starting to get sick just because I'm not getting in contact with the ground as much. And I know some folks say, oh, you're just probably worn down. The work that I was doing, fortunately, wasn't physically demanding. It was, mostly just sitting in front of a computer helping people file for claims and whatnot and assistance. But being in shoes definitely makes a huge difference. You're a lot healthier when you're barefoot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And before we run out of time, before our next break, I know Kevin's been waiting patiently. I'm going to bring him on real quick. And hey, Kevin, welcome to the program. And I don't know what happened to Kevin's. Kevin's? Well, we come back to him. I know he had he lit up in the queue. We were talking about some of the stuff, and so I thought he was ready to come on. But Kevin, if you want, I don't know if you're still there or just listening, and that's fine. But just go ahead and push one again, and then push it again if you want to. When you're ready to come on the air, you can hear us. And let's see, what else do we have here? And Kevin's is okay. He can hear us, and he's ready to come on now. Welcome to the program, Kevin's.
Oh, sorry, guys. I had my mute button on.
Mute button on. I have a tendency to do that myself. I once started a whole show. I think it was last year or something. And I'm sitting there doing my intro, and all of a sudden the board's lighting up. It's like, we can't hear you. Are you okay? What happened? What's going on? And I'm sitting here talking. I'm like, turn your speakers up, people. And I'm like, oh, then another message. No, turn your speakers up. Third message, you're like, it's me. No one can hear me. And I'm like, well, I have the regular switchboard microphone that comes on, but I have a backup mute button. Well, there's also what's called a kill all. And the kill all button will take out my regular microphone, the backup microphone. So if I just mute myself in on the board over here, another mic automatically kicks on. It's a backup failsafe, you know, just in case. It's like, boom. Now, there's a slight difference between the backup mic and the broadcast mic. Well, sometimes I accidentally must have pushed the kill all button because I wanted to try the backup mic to see if the thing really worked. Well, yeah, it's supposed to work, and it did work, but only internally, not broadcast. So I'm sitting here talking, and welcome to the Barefoot is Legal Radio Show. I'm your host, Nick Pearson. Blah, blah, blah. We live the Barefoot lifestyle. I'm like, turn your speakers up, people. Stop interrupting me. I'm talking. I'm trying to get the show going. So I had to start it all over again. It happens to the best of us. So welcome to the program, Kevin.
Yes. All right. What's up?
Not much. So what do you got to add to what we've been talking about this weekend?
Well, as far as I know, you was talking about walking in the grass and not knowing what's in the grass. You know, it's easy, like especially when you are wearing shoes. Just like, of course, just walk anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Not really paying too much attention. And yeah, you're of course walking in occasional animal poop, or maybe some gum or something like that, whichever, you know. So I myself don't walk in the grass too much, you know. But then again, if I it's amazing that when you do walk in the grass, in the dirt and all that stuff, it's a different feeling. It's like a peaceful, calm feeling, and you just like think about. But like random stuff, especially if you're by yourself and just taking a walk, you know, say maybe on a nature trail or something, and you're walking through the dirt and crap, you're just like, you're surrounded by all of this peace and quiet, you know, saying, and you just like think about a whole bunch of stuff, random stuff. You know, of course I would advise anybody to do something like that. Just like be by yourself for a few minutes and just like take a walk and just think.
Yeah, and you know, and that's why I love like early in the program. Like I'll go out like when we're going to do a family camp out. I'll go up there 3 or 4 days ahead of time, and it's days on end by myself. And I go out into the woods. I love the woods, and you know, I mean, yeah, walking on grass is okay, but I love walking in the woods most. And, you know, on the trails and stuff, you're rarely going to find a lot of, you know, animal waste laying around. You know, animals really do burrow places and you know, they're good at keeping the trails clean. Even off the trails, you don't really see a lot of animal waste that you'll step in.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of people don't walk their dogs on these trails a lot. You're not going to see that too much.
Yeah. I mean, you'll know when a bear's around. You can't miss that pile. but for the most
part. Oh, you know, matter of fact, how about one of all those geese you see crossing the street, you know what I'm saying? They leave all their poop on the sidewalk, and you'd be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, you can't miss that.
Oh, I know. There's a bunch of geese right down the road that just go back and forth across the street. It's like, really? It's like, you know, too bad I live in city limits. I'd be out there with a shotgun. Everybody complains about them.
So, yeah, it's, my goodness. But anyways, kind of switching gears, I wanted to bring up a topic. I'm not sure if we talked about it before, but this is one topic that I'm totally not clear on. So here it goes. We all know that that of course stores can make their own policy and their own rules and stuff like that. So my main thing is about discrimination. Now, of course, we all know that discrimination basically is mainly around race, color, sex, nationality, and religion. And barefoot and going into a store barefoot really doesn't technically don't fall into that category. Correct me if I'm wrong. So basically, it's like saying, okay, if Joe Blow gets kicked out of a store just because he's Jewish, then yeah, that's discrimination. But if I get forced to leave a store, you know, saying just because I'm barefoot, you know, say yeah, we can sit here and argue and say that. Of course, some people will say that. Oh, you know, that's discrimination. You know, they can't do that. But on the other side, of course, there's two sides to every argument. You know, somebody else will say, well, you know, yes, they can do that because it has nothing to do with discrimination. It's the store rules. It's the store, it's store policy. You know, so of course, me being going barefoot, which I haven't been doing it that long. You know, part of my mind will say it's probably not this discrimination because we don't fall into that category. Yes, there's probably of course like you were saying, there was laws and that protect us and stuff like that. You know, one can bring up that yeah, we know barefooters are not in a protected class or whatnot. So my only question, and I think whoever is listening is probably just like me who don't have a clear understanding. So when a store manager or employee, whatever, forces you to leave, you know, whether store policy or not, forces you to leave a store because you are wearing no shoe, because you're not wearing shoes, is it or is it not discrimination?
Okay.
It depends on
the – yeah, it really depends on and we'll take turns on this one, Richard, because I got a couple ideas that I jotted down while Kevin was talking. Now, discrimination, yes, it's also, you know, like you said, it's for religion, sexual orientation, all that, but also disability, medical, and all that. Now, that's part of discrimination. You can't discriminate on based on someone's condition, creed, orientation, and all that. When it comes to religion, though, it's just a belief. And if you believe spiritually that you're closer to whatever deity you believe in, being barefoot, then that's protected. So barefoot itself is not being barefoot is not a protected class, like you were saying, the way you referred to it. However, a policy, if it's not legal, if it's an unlawful policy that says, okay, well, yeah, they also have a policy that says you cannot discriminate against people based on, you know, race, creed, sexual orientation, disability, and medical. Now, that policy, they need to make reasonable accommodations within their policy. If you're barefoot for religious reasons or you're barefoot for a medical reason, health, you know, even your own safety, if something is not safe, like they cannot require people they can say, yes, no one's allowed in here barefoot. But if that's their policy, they need to make adjustments in that policy because if you're barefoot for a particular reason, even your own safety, see, sometimes they'll pull the safety card. And the safety card simply is, well, if you get hurt and you're barefoot, no. If I wear shoes, I could get hurt. And they're telling you to do something you normally wouldn't do. That's no different than here. If you want to shop in the store, everybody has to carry around broken glass in their hand. See what I'm saying? Yes, it's a blanket policy. It applies to everybody. But if someone says, well, I'm going to cut myself on broken glass and I don't want to get cut. No, you can't cut yourself on broken glass, but you have to carry it in your hand. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The shoe thing is the same way, the same argument almost. It's like, well, you're saying that I'm going to be safe if I wear shoes. Now, they assume all duty of care and all that, and they're liable if you get hurt in shoes. So if you slip in a flip-flop or high heel or something like that, or you get injured in any way because you were wearing shoes, because you were required to wear shoes, they're responsible for that. Yes, the policy could apply to everybody, but is it legal? Is it beneficial for them? It's the risk versus reward for the retailer, the business, the establishment, whatever it is that you're in. And if you can prove that it's safer for you or not cost effective for them to require your issues, then you win. And that's one way that you always had to kind of flip the arguments around when you're dealing with people. And sometimes something as simple as, it's for my health or it's for a medical reason, you know, whatever, that's protected. If it's for a religious reason, that's protected. Now, when it comes to orientation now, I mean, everything's protected there. I mean, 90-something different genders now. I mean, you could identify as just being barefoot and you're protected based on the way everything goes now. So not necessarily sexual orientation, but just the way you identify and you're oriented to begin with is now considered protected. So, well, I mean, if you want to be addressed as a glass of orange juice, well, then you have that right. You're protected. You can also be identified just as being barefoot, and you're protected. New facet of the law that's been developing, which I'm going to get into in a future episode. So I'm still doing some more research on that with all the new, you know, all the new things that are coming up when it comes to, like, the whole identification, orientation, what people identify as and how that's protected in the law and how it could apply to us. But I still have a few more, you know, legal questions to ask other attorneys before I really go too deep into it so I can really accurately explain that. So in the future, that's coming around the corner. Because all that's still so new, it's kind of too early to kind of, you know, go too far into it. But Richard, your turn. Your thoughts on that one.
You pretty much covered it. Excuse me, you covered everything. So, Kevin, what most folks need to understand is if somebody's kicking you out, and you need to get the reason why they're kicking you out. And we already know that if they bring up the health codes, we know that's bogus, and we can explain that to them. But if it comes down to they're just saying, we have a policy against bare feet. And if they proceed to kick you out and you allow them to kick you out, that's on you. They have done nothing wrong. They've violated no law. However, if they then sit there and say, okay, we have a policy against bare feet, you need to leave, and you say, I'm barefoot because that's a tenet of my religious practices. Well, now you've just described your circumstance for being barefoot as part of the protected classes, which the federally protected classes, you know, as we've mentioned, it's race, color, religion or creed, national origin or ancestry, sex, age, physical or mental disability, veteran status, genetic information, citizenship. If you fall into any of those categories, you cannot be discriminated against and removed from a business. So the moment you claim you're being barefoot is for a religious reason, or I have a physical disability, like I know one barefooter, and I wish I could recall his name. He has a balance issue, and he's got, I forget the name of the disease that he has. Barefooting actually allows him to be able to, you know, maneuver in life. He can walk when he's barefooted because he's got better, proprioception of the ground and his, position in space and able to walk. When he's in shoes, he stumbles and falls and can hurt himself. So somebody tries to throw him out the moment he mentioned his physical disability, and they still throw him out. Now they're violating the law because they've thrown somebody out who's part of a protected class.
Okay, I got it.
So it kind of falls on us to make sure that we're stating something. And again, any business that kicks you out, doesn't matter the reason that they kick you out. They may very well have violated the law, but unless you're going to challenge them and take them to court, there's not going to be any enforcement and, you know, of them breaking the law. They're not going to pay a penalty. It's kind of like any of us. We're in our vehicle, speed limit's 25, and we go 40. If there's no police officer there to stop us and ticket us, we got away with it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, okay.
You know,
basically, it's like saying, okay, because I think I told this about this, the letter that I got from Food Lion, who they say that, matter of fact, and I posted their sign, that they really do got a shirt and shoes required sign on their door. But the letter that they sent me, and when I called corporate, the letter said that they'll accommodate customers for personal and religious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having said that, you know, now that they put that that little quote, personal religious reasons, in their policy, You know, they're telling me, okay, well, it's cool for me to go barefoot for those reasons. Of course, I go barefoot now, you know, for health reasons.
Yeah.
You know,
because
you know,
if they denied you service, if they denied you service after you stated that, they'd be in big trouble. And that's why, you know, they sent you that letter. And unfortunately, they still probably had the sign up, or hopefully they probably took it down. But we don't want that. And that's odd.
What's up,
the commercial break is a little mixed up. So, but yes, it is time for a break. So we will be right
what
back.
What was that?
I have no idea. Something's mixed up in a track somewhere. But stick around and listen to the Barefoot is Legal radio program. Be right back.
Are you curious about Tantra? Did you know Tantra isn't just about sex? Think meditation, breathwork, earthing, ceremony, the chakra system, self-healing, the shame and shadows and trauma that we hold in our body. Join me, Tara, for Tantra with Tara every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Each show will begin with a guided meditation. Tantra is shifting and deepening the lives, spirits, and hearts of people all over the world. Invite Tantra to shift yours.
Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding copy of the receipt right here. The check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty'sGardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods. And with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
You never know when an emergency is going to happen. Whether stuck on the road, riding out a power outage, escaping a natural disaster, or surviving a doomsday apocalypse, what would you do? Disaster can strike at any time. Join your host, Nick Pierce, for Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival program, Are You Ready? Saturdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Listen to Are You Ready? Here on Freedomizer Radio. And be prepared.
Our culture celebrates ignorance, promotes learned helplessness, and punishes success. We are living in a frenzied cesspool of polarizing politics and perpetual victims. What if I were to tell you that not all news is bad? That humans the world over are fundamentally good? Would you believe it? We are the counterculture that is wise to reality. There is no red pill. There is no blue pill. The truth is not out there. It is inside of you. But you have to look for it. Join us on Counterculture Wise Radio on Sunday nights at 7:30 Puget Sound time, where we share real news, real success, and real life. Counterculture Wise Radio, we're on to you. Are you on to yourself?
Hey, Freedom S, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Tune in to the Mad Scientist Expo Show every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, where we discuss the science and the news today, take a closer look, and expose where fraud is being committed for various agendas, from money to politics to downright pure evil and malice. Of course we trust science. It's scientists we don't trust. Tune in and join the conversation on Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, on Freedomizer Radio.
Hello, Freedomizers. Joanne Moretti here. Join me and my co-host Scott Ferrarello and crew every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for the latest news, politics, current events, investigative reports, right here at freedomizerradio.com. See you on Wednesday at 6 Eastern.
The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates. And yes, we are here working on the dream of empowering everybody and making bare feet acceptable. We already know they're legal, but people out there think that it's illegal, but that's part of our dream. That's why we're here. 319-527-6208. Welcome back to the program. I'm going to take a brief time out. Don't forget our website, barefootislegal.org. And chat with us in the chat room. Yeah, coming into that commercial break, you can't play two reels from two different locations at the same time. One through the switchboard in the studio, and another one from a deck next to me. It doesn't work that way.
Good to know.
There's a beefy USB cable that plugs into the main computer that I work the switchboard from. Well, that's also connected to a series of equipment next to me. And when I went to pull up 22, which is the commercial reel, it played the music because I searched where the song was that I wanted to use coming out of this break. Well, it automatically pulled it up and had it on standby, and I didn't realize it because I was typing while we were talking in a separate window in another program. And then when everything went to active, I played that, and it also sunk it to that thing. It got triggered. It got triggered. We need to medicate the equipment
thing.
Out of control. Yeah, everything started happening at the same time, and it wasn't supposed to happen that way. Working on a Dream was not supposed to play and the other song was, but it was way out of timing. So, oh well, technology at its best. It got triggered. Well, welcome back to the program. We're also here with Kevin's and just talking about the lights we have and all that.
Technical difficulties.
Oh, today's been full of them for some reason. I have no idea what's going on.
Must be one of those radio days.
Mm-hmm. Another day at the studio.
Yeah, electronics malfunction.
Yeah, my emo rack is triggered, and it's just going to sit there slicing its cables up on itself now or something. I don't know what's going on. I need to put it in a safe place, I guess.
Wonderful.
So I'm kind of curious. We were talking about the legality of a business to toss you out for bare feet and protected classes. Did that kind of answer your questions, Kevin?
Yeah, I believe it did. Like I said, I wasn't really fully what's the word I'm looking for? I guess I wasn't fully I didn't fully understand. I was kind of didn't have the complete info about that. You know, like I was saying, you know, the place of business. You know, let's say if shirt and shoes are required, if they say, you know, if the company says that you can. They'll accommodate people for personal and religious reasons, then I guess that means they can't kick you out based on that.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be a reason, but if, like I said, as soon as you tell them that, you know, it's for, you know, medical, cultural, religious, you know, anything like that, then they're treading on very thin ground if they want to continue. And they have no right to kick you out at that point. You know, people argue, you know, that, we're a private company. We're a private business. We're private property. No, you're open to the public. You're a place of public accommodation. And there are a certain set of rules and laws that they follow if they're open to the public. It's not like a private club. Now, if it's a private club, that's one thing. You know, they can say, oh, everybody here must wear a purple bow tie in order to be a member of the club or the Purple Bow Tie Club. That's one thing. But as soon as they have a function or they have anything where the doors are open to the public, that's a different story. And they're on different rules than anything else.
Yeah, you know, and the weird part is that some of these people will go as far as if you don't get out, you know, I'll call the cops. But it's like, why would you call the cops and waste their time when they got other things to do? You're gonna call the cops because a customer this barefoot customer who's not really causing an uproar, not making a scene, not disrupting your flow of business and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? You're making that person leave just because they're barefoot and they're really standing up and defending themselves and saying, no, you can't do that. You can't make me leave because I'm going barefoot for personal religious reasons or medical reasons or whatnot. So why would you call the cop? And then when the cop gets there, what is that cop supposed to do? You know, are they going to side with the customer or are they going to side with the manager?
If presented right, they will side with the customer.
Okay.
If a cop knows that he's then going to engage in something illegal, they can't do that. The cop needs to uphold the law. And if you've already said that, hey, this is because of one of these protected reasons, the cop can't go against that.
True that. So basically, like saying, and of course, I had to bring this up again about Dollar General. You know, who basically is that one company that will not budge on its policy. So and that's part of the reason why I don't even shop. That I barely shop at Dollar General just because of those encounters. You know, I mean, I think I told this story, and actually, Richard, you don't really know this story, but it was sometime I don't know, I want to say 2016, I think it was 2016. There's this Dollar General, right around the corner from my house. I went in there barefoot frequently. Nobody said nothing, but up until they finally decided to say something, you know, talk about, you know, you need to wear shoes because you cut your foot, we're liable, you know, and junk like that. So then again, I guess somebody tipped the manager up or whatever, and they said, I can't allow you in there with no shoes on, yada yada yada. So I wrote an email to Dollar General. I even gave him some literature from the I forgot what website it was. Talk about I think it was some barefootalliance.org.com, whatever. And I emailed them to about, you know, is you're not liable, you know, this and that and this and that. They responded to talk about, you know, thank you for your information, yada yada yada, but our policy stands. I forgot the exact wording, but mainly their policy stands. You know, so basically if I were to go back in there right now and they say something, I'd be like, okay, well, you know, I go barefoot for Dollar General, they do got on their doors. Shirt and shoes are required. So if I go in there and say, hey, I go barefoot for personal and religious reasons, you know, I mean, like you said, they can't really, and they shouldn't, kick me out based on that, you know.
Correct.
Huh? Well, go ahead, Richard.
No, what I was just going to say was that the shouldn't and can't are things that people confuse. You know, we shouldn't break the speed limit doesn't mean we can't break the speed limit. Whether we get caught and punished for breaking the speed limit is another factor. And basically what I think, and a lot of folks are in your same situation, you know, they go someplace, and everything's fine, and we fall into the premise that, oh, this particular store is barefoot friendly. Well, the reality is more likely, and this is, again, this is my opinion on it, what I've seen over, you know, almost nearly 30 years of doing this, it comes down to more whether the employees at that store, the manager at the store, really want to do anything at that moment, and also just how extensive their knowledge is of whatever the store policies are. And I'll guarantee you 99% of managers and store employees only deal with 1% of the store's policies. Probably what they can return with a receipt or without, what's their price matching guarantees, the things that they deal with all the time. And then what comes into play is the fact that most people still believe in this widespread myth that you're not supposed to be barefoot. But again, they're probably not going to deal with it because they see so few barefooters, like, oh, there's a barefoot person. Do I really want to go, you know, do anything about it? Unfortunately, it's more and more people are kind of hands off. I don't want to deal with it. It's not my problem. Not hurting me. I'm going to just ignore it. But then you get those occasional people that are either foot phobic or they had somebody who's got a problem with feet, a customer that saw you and like, oh my gosh, that person shouldn't be in here barefooted. And they go run and tell the nearest employee. And then the employee maybe passes along to a manager because they don't want to be the bad guy. And then bang, here you are on your 20th visit into that business. And now you're being confronted. And you're going to be confronted with the only thing that manager probably knows, and he thinks there's probably a policy, doesn't know public accommodation laws, doesn't know the anti-discrimination acts that were passed in, you know, 1964, Civil Rights Act of 1964, and just kind of goes with what they think they know.
Yeah.
And thus, you get thrown out without knowing. And then if you try to stand up, depending on how you approach them, if you approach them in a friendly manner, saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to comply, whatever you want, just, you know, answer me why I can't be barefooted in here, get their reasons. But if it push comes to shove and they call the police, yeah, you are now guilty of trespass because they've asked you to leave, regardless of the reasons. The moment they tell you you need to leave the store, the police will come and enforce that particular part of law. You are now trespassing. The people that are in charge of the place want you removed. The reasons behind it aren't necessarily going to be in the cop's mind either. They don't have an extensive law, you know, background like we would think. Most of us believe cops should have the same knowledge as a lawyer, and that's just not the case. Again, police are going to focus mainly on the things that they deal with every single day.
Yeah, and stuff like
and the
this
one thing they'll know is
them.
Yeah. So when you sit there and say, "Hey, I'm barefoot for religious reasons," they may appreciate that fact. They may understand that fact, but they're still going to enforce your trespassing, and you need to be removed regardless of the reason. And if you have a valid legal case, they're not going to decide that. It may make them sit there and question, especially if you say, "Hey, I'm a part of a protected class because I'm going barefoot for religious reasons. You can't discriminate against my religion." A cop, you know, an average cop will probably go, "Oh, that sounds about right." So maybe they don't arrest you and take you away for trespass.
Yeah, but that's true.
And, you know, and sometimes, you know, in some of the things, it's actually been turned around where the cop has actually told the store employee or the manager that you can't do this. And I know Melanie wants to join us, and we're running out of time. So, Melanie, welcome to the program.
Hey, I actually have a question about the reasonable accommodation loophole that they try to bring up. I know that people who have tried to shop at Dollar General have been told that they're not allowed to enter the premises, but they'll give you a personal shopper who will go around with the basket. I was once offered a
wheelchair. That's segregation.
Well, I was offered a wheelchair. They considered a wheelchair. Now, keep in mind, I had been on the premises already for an hour and a half. I had a meal with friends. You know, there was no issues at all, but some security guard got a bee up their bonnet. So they followed me to the bathroom and waited for me to come out and then told me that I would have to leave the premises because I was trespassing. And I'd like to know how, you know, let's say I entered the premises wearing shoes and I took them off. Do I immediately become a trespasser at that point? Is the fact that my bare soles hit their floor, does that flip a switch and classify me as a – I'm really curious about that because I feel like I'm retroactively being classified – For something that everybody else does, it's just because they have a piece of rubber between the feet and the floor, and I don't, that I become this second class of person. But in this particular case, I was already on my way out. But not only was the situation humiliating, but it was quite insulting because I was standing with two veterans, and they offered me a wheelchair. I'm perfectly able-bodied. I walked in there of my own accord, and they felt that reasonable accommodation was a wheelchair, which I found just absolutely disgusting and insulting. So, how does that play? And when we're talking reasonable accommodation, if this is my religion or this is for health reasons, would that really be covered in the ADA? If I came in and I said I needed a ramp, and they said, "Well, no, we'll just pick you up on a, you know, a pedestal and carry you around, you know, in front of everybody." I mean, was that reasonable?
The ADA thing, the ADA thing is a whole separate can of worms. That's a big one. I've had experience with that because my ex-wife has disabilities that we had to deal with service animals. And one of my uncles that I had to take care of for quite a long time had issues before this is before the ADA was making businesses put in ramps for accommodation. But the first part, as far as the trespassing goes, you're not trespassing until the business tells you, notifies you, you need to be out of my business. That's when you're guilty of trespass. And you're not necessarily committing trespass if you sit there and they tell you and you immediately start walking towards the exit. You're not guilty of trespass. The police might come in at some point while you're still trying to get out of the store. You're still not guilty of trespass until that moment you sit there and say, "No, I'm not leaving." And they've
well,
told
can't,
you to
can't
leave.
I at that point just raise a big fat stink and then get free coffee for the rest of my life and a whole bunch of money from both Starbucks and the local police department at that point?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, sorry, I'm white.
Paul's.
Nope, that's not an option. Silly me.
Well, I mean, again, it all depends on how everything gets tweaked and, you know, that whole circumstance. You know, did you notify them that you're going barefoot for religious reasons or for this? The other thing, too, now getting to the ADA thing.
You don't have to, though. Are you saying that I have to walk onto the property and say, "I am barefoot for religious purposes. Back away, fair citizen."
It's sometimes, yeah, you have to.
But I don't want to announce it.
No, I get that, but what I'm saying is, if you enter a place barefoot, you're just a barefoot person. And if they choose to sit there and say, we don't want barefooted people in our store, that is within their right, only in that being barefoot is not a protected class. However, if you sit there and say the reason you are barefoot is because of religious or a physical disability, now you're part
you're
of
protected.
A protected class.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So
but
can't
I've been
throw
told
you out.
They don't care. I've been told that doesn't matter. Get off. In fact, there's two places I've been let out. The one place offered me a wheelchair. The other place led me out at gunpoint. They took their gun out of their holster and threatened me and told me to get off the property or I would be arrested.
Right.
Even after I told them it was a medical condition.
Right. Again, the people that are involved need to know the law. And obviously they did not know the law. And unless they are taken to court, which it, to me, in my mind, would be a very easy win if they sat there and said, you identified that you're barefooting for religious reasons, and then they sit there and deny that and sit there and say, we don't care. Well, that's an open and shut lawsuit right there in your favor.
Yeah.
Any judge, any reasonable, you know, attorney is going to sit there and have a field day with that. That's a home run, you know, a bang, grand slam. We got this. Not only did they break the law.
What if you can't go to court because you're barefoot?
See, and then that's where a lot of our society, you know, where we have so many issues with so many things, is people don't act honorably or respectfully. And when folks don't have the means to be able to sit there and pursue something like this, they get their rights trodden upon.
Right.
They get away with it.
Because I can't hire a lawyer. I can't take a whole day off and go to court on the off chance that they actually let me in. You know, I don't have those type of means. So, you know, the bullies win.
Which is why, you know, a lot of folks sit there, you know, and I understand the viewpoint of, you know, being barefoot isn't really that grand on the scheme of civil rights that we need to fix in this country. But it still is because people get, you know, downtrodden. And if we can grow this group large enough and start getting money in, we can eventually have a lawyer that
can represent people
these fights for us.
To fight them. Yeah.
So when you sit there and come to Barefoot is Legal and say, hey, I just had this happen. Here's the facts. Here's the people involved. They can launch launch a court case and file a suit. And bang, you're going to put some change in your pocket.
He actually becomes like a minor celebrity, a barefoot lawyer. Especially if he went to court barefoot. That'd be awesome.
I mean, I've done the court thing barefoot many times. Sometimes whenever it's asked, I'm like, you know, well, that's just, this is the way, this is why it is. And they're just like, oh, okay. And you also have to look the blind eyes of justice. They'll, you know, they can't sit there and say, oh, well then, the court will sit there and even the judge will say, you know, well, got to allow it. And especially if
you
it's about a case.
What blows my mind? What absolutely blows my mind is both in court and at the airport, they make you remove your shoes. And then they get mad when you're barefoot. I'm like, but you literally just told me to remove my shoes. I mean, you made me. and one time somebody I was past the gate, and I don't bother putting I have barefoot sandals on when I come, and they make me take those off. It's like, okay, two strings and a bead, but hey, whatever blows your mind, here you go. Now I'm barefoot. And I just don't bother putting them off. So there I am going, you know, toward my gate, and somebody actually stops me and says, well, it's illegal for you to be barefoot. I said, no, actually, it's not. She goes, no, it's a federal law. I said, well, okay, then you guys need to go to
federal
jail.
Law.
Because if you forcefully make me break a federal law, then you are in violation of that very law. So because you made me take off my shoes, you're in more trouble than I am. But by the way, there's no law.
Yeah, exactly. Then all of a sudden the law disappears. I'm sorry, I had to cut you off. We have 15 seconds left. But Melanie, definitely call in earlier. Like to thank all of our callers, all of our listeners. Go to barefootislegal.org, check out our Facebook group. And until next time, keep them bare. Stand up for your rights.